welcome to worship. At this time, we'd like for everyone to take their Connect card from their bulletin and begin to fill it out. If you don't have a card or a pen or pencil, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. The front of the card has a place for your name and other important information like a current email address and phone number. You might ask, why do I need to fill out a Connect card? We believe there are several great reasons why you should. One, this assists us in acknowledging your presence here today and following up on our absentees. Two, our Connect card provides us with constantly updated information on you regulars, so you won't miss any communications from the office during the week. Three, the box you check on the left front will tell us if you are visiting, and we can respond to your visit and supply future communication. We really want to thank our visitors for coming and invite them to return. Four, on the back of the card, you can request any desired information about us and let us know about things we can join you in prayer for as you encounter life this week. We really appreciate you taking time to do this for us, and we hope to connect with you soon and hope you will come and connect with us again in future services and events. Thanks again, and may God bless you as we continue to connect with Him this morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Lyle. Well, good morning. How is everybody? Everyone doing okay? Well, good. Well, we want to say welcome to everyone. I see some visitors, some guests this morning. We know that throughout the month, the holiday season, that we're going to have a lot of visitors and guests. So we just want to say good morning. Welcome to you all. We hope you guys make yourselves feel at home. We have coffee and donuts in the back. Feel free to help yourself anytime. Announcements. We've got still a lot of stuff going on throughout the end of the month. We want to make certain you guys are all aware of it. One thing that did not get put in the bulletin that some of you I know have inquired about, Evelyn Reed. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Adams will be her memorial service. So that's 10 o'clock tomorrow morning for her memorial service. Any other details, you can see Pastor about. He can get you that. But we wanted to make certain that we shared that with everyone so that you guys could be a part if you so choose. Small groups tonight. Small groups meet at 6. In the morning at 10 for the senior ladies. And then don't forget the Van Sant's Bible study Tuesday evening at 6:30. Plenty of opportunities for you guys to get plugged in a small group. If you're not part of one, Christy Henley, where are you? Right over here, Christy Henley. She can get you all the details. If you're not a part of one, maybe you want to host one. Maybe you want to lead one. See Christy. She can get you hooked up. Also want to make mention, December 24th through January 1st, Pastor Gary and Sue will both be on vacation, so the church office will be closed. We will still have services, though, so you guys make certain you show up. Last week, Pastor made mention about the Christmas tradition forms. If you have a special Christmas tradition that you would like mentioned, the forms are back there on the sound booth wall. Grab one of those, fill it out, but he needs it today. So feel free to get up in the middle of service whenever you want. Go back there, grab one. But if you do want your tradition mentioned next week, please get that form filled out and to him today. Then on the 26th, that is the day right after Christmas, that's a Wednesday. We will not have service that Wednesday night. We know that you all will probably still be with family. A lot of you will still be traveling, so we have dismissed service that Wednesday evening. Keep your bulletins handy. We still have a few special services towards the end of the month, so feel free to check the website. If you lose this, it's always on that website as well. So thank you.
Pastor Pastor Don and Ruth are still filling an interim position at Mountain Grove, and so Ruth is not here this morning to do our mission moment, but we just remind you, today is the day to get in all of the items. If you pulled some of the ornaments from out on the bulletin board, we're doing local missions as well as foreign missions, and so if you have gifts, do not wrap them, but just bring them into the church by this evening, and we'll get those appropriately distributed. We do have a mission moment. Okay. Well, let's roll that mission moment then.
Nazarene Compassionate Ministries is the church in action. An outflow of the Church of the Nazarene, we mobilize local congregations to live out Christ's call to care for the least of these. Through church-led community development and emergency relief work, NCM uses a holistic ministry model that proclaims and demonstrates the gospel of Jesus. The result? Lives and communities transformed. Who is NCM? NCM is you. Whenever you offer hope to the vulnerable, food or water to the hungry or thirsty, whenever you provide care or hospitality, whenever you meet the need of someone in crisis or provide safety for someone in danger, whenever you build relationships with those living in the margins of society, you partner with us in tangibly expressing the love of Jesus. NCM is church-led because we believe in local congregations to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, building relationships that will live beyond particular projects. There are spiritual, relational, and systemic causes for poverty. NCM addresses the complex roots of the issue so that we can work towards physical, relational, and spiritual wholeness for each individual and their communities. At NCM, we work to enable children to become the people God made them to be by surrounding them with care. We address needs such as education and nutrition while also providing relationship and spiritual nurturing, all while making sure to address their larger context, the condition of the child's family and community. We are all made in God's image, and so each member of a community has dignity, value, and the capacity to bring about change. NCM equips churches to walk alongside individuals in developing their own communities and addressing their own complex challenges. Our hope is transformation through Christ for individuals and communities. We know that the work of God is the cornerstone of every life that is changed and every community transformed. Things can change in an instant. Disaster, disease, and scarcity can be hard to predict. For this reason, it is imperative that local churches are equipped to act fast when urgent needs arise. The Greater Compassion Fund helps NCM and local congregations in doing just that. Because of the Greater Compassion Fund, hungry families are being fed. Sick people are experiencing healing. Children are being given dignity. The persecuted are finding safety. Clean water is decreasing the spread of disease, and people are seeing the love of Christ. Your partnership makes this all possible. To bring compassion into action, join us today at ncm.org.
The ushers will come at this time. We want to receive our morning and tithes and offerings. And let me just express my thanks as pastor of this church for your generosity for responding not only to world missions, but to the local missions and the needs that are here. We appreciate that so very much. And so if you have Connect cards, you can drop those in the offering plate, and as well as your gifts where God has blessed you. Brother Lyle, come this morning. I think if you just flip the switch on the bottom of that microphone, there will be a little red light that will come on, and if you'll just ask God's blessing and receive my offering this morning.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you as we bring a portion of our lives back to you and just offer our lives as well as the funds that you're bringing in. Now just bless those that give and bless the giver. We just thank you in your precious name. Amen.
Oh, come Emmanuel. Prince of Peace has come. He has come, Emmanuel. Glory to the light of the world. Glory to the light of the world. For all who wait, for all who hunger, for all who
story we have to tell. We have the greatest story there ever was to tell the people of this world. God is so good and he loves us so, so much. We are blessed. Stand with us.
God bless you. Tidings of the same, thou that in Bethlehem was born.
pray that you have the joy of Jesus in this wonderful Christmas season this morning. An unspeakable joy. A joy that overcomes all the circumstances and situations that we might encounter. As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, these altars are open to you, as is always the case. And so if you have burdens that you need to lay down or you have praise that needs to be lifted, you feel free to come and find a place at these altars this morning. We want to remember Evelyn's family as we prepare for those services tomorrow. The great news is that even facing death in this season, her family has the great joy of knowing that she loved Jesus with all of her heart. She lived faithfully a Christian life. And tomorrow we will celebrate life the way it ought to be lived, and with all of its rewards and all of its treasures. And so we will miss Evelyn, and we want to honor her tomorrow. If you can come, we'll be at the Adams Funeral Home there at 10. And then there'll be a time of visitation, and then we're going to be feeding the family here at our church at noon. So you pray for them as they continue to carry on the legacy that she lived and spoke into their lives. And I know that this time of year, I look forward to Christmas. I love Christmas. It's a great time of joy for me. But I have a dear friend that passed away a few years ago that she never married. She was my age. She had a difficult childhood, and she reminds, she used to sit where Kathy's sitting this morning. And she laid into me one Christmas. She said, I just want you to know Christmas is not a great time for everybody. And I didn't know what to do. This may be a time of great joy, or it may be a time of great sadness. But here's what I know. For God so loved the world that he sent his son as a babe in a manger for everyone, no matter what our life situations are. And he will never leave us or forsake us. And if we open our hearts and lives to him, he will fill us and he will be with us whatever we're going through. And so as we sing together again this morning, look over those requests that's in your bulletin. Remember those through your prayer times this week. But if you just need a place to lay it down or lift it up, whatever the case might be, you feel free to come. No one will come to you. This is your time with your God. And then we'll lift our voices together in prayer. We are a blessed people. I'm so grateful that somewhere in my life, someone spoke Jesus to me. Not just one, but many. Lord, I come this morning lifting up you as our Heavenly Father and our brother, the Son Jesus. And our constant companion, the Holy Spirit. Jesus taught us when he taught us to pray to hallow your name. And we are here this morning to celebrate and to lift up the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To lift up Emmanuel, God with us. To lift up the mighty God, the wonderful Counselor, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The list goes on and on and on. Your names are many. We owe you everything. We have nothing to give but ourselves. But God, we give willingly today, knowing that as we give you this gift, what we will get is far greater than anything we could offer. So in this season of giving, we give you our thanks. our appreciation. We give you our praise. And you give us eternal life. You give us forgiveness of sin. You give us relief from guilt. You give us release from penalty or punishment. You give us your word. You give us your spirit. I think we got the better end of the deal, Lord. We come today to worship you and to celebrate you. And because we're human beings and because we're not perfect, and we come with our failures and our flaws, and we lay them down before you. Say, Lord, if you'll take this, we'll give it to you. And you take it joyfully and willingly and make something out of it more than we could ever make of it ourselves. Father, we thank you for all that you are to us, for all you have done and are going to do. And then, Lord, we lift up those things that are recorded in the bulletin. We lift up things that are recorded on our hearts and minds this morning. Things that are too big for us. Things that are beyond us. Things that we would love to do something about. We don't know what to do. But Lord, we know you know what to do. And not only do you know what to do, you're capable of doing it. So, Father, we open our hearts to you today and receive everything you have for us. We want to walk in all the light that you give. We want to be filled with your Holy Spirit. We want to share with others. Lord, for those who need a physical touch, be the great physician. For those who need emotional strength today, be the counselor. For those who are facing financial challenges, be the great provider. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Whatever the challenges of our life are, you are the one to whom nothing is too hard or difficult. And what is impossible with men is possible with God. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior and Lord. We honor you today. We give you our lives, our service. Lord, we worship you. We pray that in this Christmas season that we will seize every opportunity that you give to us to tell others about you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you our lives and all our stuff. You are worthy of our praise. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
I was going to tell you about how awesome Christmas is, but the Lord wanted me to share something with you that happened to us this week. Because of Christ's birth, we get to experience miracles every day. And this past week, my 86-year-old father had a major heart attack. He was in ICU for several days. The doctors told us that the chances, he had a double bypass, and they said the chances of him surviving that at his age with bad kidneys, they said don't expect him to make it through. So everybody started praying, and he did make it through. And that was miracle one. Miracle two was that after 21 years, me and my four sisters and my parents were together. And my dad was so excited to see all of his girls at one time. He had us all packed into that tiny little IC room, and they're all over 250 pounds. And so we jam-packed ourselves into that little tiny room, and my dad looks over the nurse and he says, "Isn't that the greatest look of the best-looking group of girls you ever saw?" He has dementia, so, you know, it's not really true. But it was such an awesome time. And so sometimes bad things happen. We think they're bad things, but God takes them and turns them into something good. And because of Christ's birth, we can say, thank the Lord, miracles still happen.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voice. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all
for that beautiful message in song. I'm going to ask Logan and Ashlyn to come at this time if they will. And we're going to observe one of our traditions of lighting the Advent wreath. And we get to light all three of the purple candles today, representing the prophets, the angels, and today, the shepherds. Logan, there's a lighter right there by the wreath. light those three purple candles. And Ashlyn, I think there is the mic still laying over here. Check and make sure the little red light is on the bottom of it. Okay, now, what I need you to do is just introduce yourselves to these folks and tell them just a little bit of quick background of what's going on with you in your lives now, and then share the poem and light the candles.
My name is Ashlyn, and this is my husband, Logan. Gary is one of my cousins, and we moved here in February and have started going to church here ever since. He works for my Uncle Steve as a mechanic, and I work at Nixa Assembly at the Morningstar Daycare as a teacher. The sky was clear and the stars shone bright as the shepherds watched their flocks by night. The angel appeared and in glory did say, "A Savior is born in David's town this day. This is really good news, so don't be afraid. Find the babe, Christ the Lord, in a manger laid. Let's go," said the shepherds, "to Bethlehem and see who brings glory to God and peace to men." They went and they found, then spread the word about the babe in the manger and all things seen and heard. So three flames now flicker and offer their light, helping us to remember the most wondrous of nights.
Family is never short on words to speak to one another. Well, what a great Sunday to worship the Lord. Kathy, we're so happy for you and your family and the recovery that your father is making. And so thanks to all of you for lifting up prayers on his behalf. And just a lot of great things that are going on amongst our folks as we walk into this Christmas season. And so we celebrate that together. And then I would be amiss if I did not mention this morning that we have VIPs here. And so, Travis, thank you so much, you and your family, for coming. I want you to meet Pastor Travis Edwards and his wife. Their children have already gone to be a part of what we do with our children, but Travis pastors North Nixa Baptist Church, and he is a part of our Monday morning prayer group, and I don't say enough about this or talk about it enough, but there are about five gentlemen that make up this Monday morning prayer group that are from the Assembly of God Church, the North Nixa Baptist Church, the Aldersgate Methodist Church, Golden Avenue Baptist. Pastor Lance is there part-time from Golden Avenue Baptist in Springfield. All local Nixa guys that make up this group of people. Richard Akins used to pastor First Baptist and now pastors Chadwick First Baptist. But a great group of men who for many years have been meeting together and been my friends. And Travis is new. Chris is new from Nixa Assembly. We've had some new pastors that have moved in. And these guys have just jumped in and become a part of us. And we've bonded. And I know without a doubt that just like you, that these men who are my friends would have my back in any situation and intercede on behalf, we intercede on behalf of each other. And so it is an honor to have you with us this morning. Thank you so much for coming and being here as our guest. I wanted to turn your attention to Luke chapter 2. This is indeed on our Advent wreath, the day of the shepherd's candle. And so I want to talk, we've been talking about the personalities of Christmas, and I want to share with you a little bit about these personalities of the shepherds this day. And so we read from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. There are three simple things that I would like for us to catch from this story, this factual account this morning, that I believe that as we think about these shepherds, these humble men, shepherds were basically considered to be the lowest vocational occupation on the face of the earth. Nobody grew up saying, "I want to be a shepherd when I grow up." You know, Jewish boys wanted to be rabbis, and they went to rabbi school, and you've heard me tell this in other sermons earlier on, but you know, they were supposed to have the first five books of the Old Testament memorized by a certain time, and if they got that accomplished, then in the next level of rabbi school, they would memorize more of the Old Testament, and essentially, there were some of them who, by the time they completed rabbi school, if they stayed in there and were good students, they literally had the Old Testament memorized. It's incredible when you stop and think about what they went through. But the truth of the matter is, if you were a shepherd, you flunked out of rabbi school. So you took what you could get. Some people stepped into family vocations. That was the norm. But you know, I'm sure the earth was imperfect at that point in time. Not everybody had a family vocation. And so you got what you could get. And so being a shepherd was kind of the leftover thing. Isn't it interesting then that these are the first guys God spoke to? I think that's significant. What is even more significant is their response. And that's what I want us to learn this morning, is that this response, this, the way that these shepherds took all this in and dealt with it, we can do that same thing today. The exact same thing. So let me just share with you quickly some very simple things they heard. You know, if you look back into verses 8 through 14, you're seeing these shepherds awestruck, scared out of their wits, seeing angels speaking to them, hearing a message from God, but they were listening. They heard the message. They received a message. And here's what we need to realize sometimes. God speaks to us in many ways. But sometimes we don't listen very well. You know, you can hear stuff and not be listening. And you can become so used to the noise that you don't even hear anymore. My grandma Ruby lived in a little house that my dad built in Fordland, Missouri, that had a railroad track right behind it. Grandma Ruby didn't hear the trains. When I went to Grandma Ruby's house, I heard the trains. If you ever tried to spend the night at Grandma Ruby's house, then you really heard the train. You didn't sleep much. Because I grew up on the farm where there were crickets and frogs and that kind of stuff. No trains. So they were loud, but my grandma didn't hear the trains. So if we're not careful, sometimes we can get used to stuff and we stop really listening. And we don't really hear things. And it's significant that these guys were listening, because if they hadn't been listening, they would have missed the details that were important in this message. The message to them was that there was a Savior who had been born, and that they were to go and to seek Him out. And they would know when they found Him, because He would be in a manger and He would be wrapped in swaddling cloths. Well, you know, I've read that story all my life and never really thought a whole lot about it, other than the fact that, you know, mangers are pretty, that's pretty low scale, you know. And we get that, you know, that God gave the message to shepherds because He wanted the common people to hear the message. He wanted everybody, you know, He wanted people to know that Christ was for everybody. But I've just, over the years, I've run across some things, you know, concerning these shepherds and these pieces of this message. There's all kinds of theory out there. Some is that December 25th is not, you know, really Jesus' birthday. And the reasoning for that would be that shepherds don't keep flocks outside all year long. So December would be too late in the year. But hear this. Another popular argument against Christ being born in December asserts that shepherds would not have their flocks out past October. Therefore, there weren't any shepherds out in December. Is this true? Edersheim, which if you know anything about Edersheim, he's a historian. And he's written, you know, there's children's Bible story books and other accounts. Edersheim claims that there were shepherds at a place called Migdal Eder near Bethlehem. These shepherds were commissioned by the Jewish priests to keep temple flocks in a specific pasture land all year round. Their demanding duties prevented them from participating in any of the religious observances that involved the very sheep they were watching. Taking as his source the Mishnah, a book of Jewish oral traditions, Edersheim writes that specific passages lead us to infer that these flocks lay out all the year round. The shepherds who watched them could not worship and learn about God at the temple, so God perhaps chose them to be the first ones to see his newborn lamb. Okay? That's acceptable. Rabbi Jason Sobel, just recently in 2017, delivered a fascinating take on the significance of baby Jesus being placed in swaddling clothes after his birth in the nativity story, one that directly ties into the angelic announcement that was made to the shepherds. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said to them, "This will be a sign to you. You'll see a baby lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes." Sobel recounted, noting that he believes these shepherds weren't ordinary everyday shepherds. In fact, he said they were raising lambs that were to be offered as sacrifices in the temple, noting that these lambs needed to be without blemish. The sacrificial lambs. So, these so-called Levitical shepherds would wrap up the lambs in swaddling cloths to protect them, to keep them unblemished. This is, of course, noteworthy as it shows that the swaddling would have been an important connection point for the shepherds. What did they see? Sobel asked of the shepherds' arrival at the site of Jesus' birth, a baby born in the same place that the Passover lambs were born. Swaddled like a Passover lamb, pointing to the fact that Messiah was the Lamb of God who would take over the sins of the world. Now, you know, I could have read this a few years ago, and it probably wouldn't have impacted me emotionally in the same way, because when my kids were growing up, I guess some of the women knew about swaddling things, but it wasn't a big deal. But since my grandchildren have been born, my daughter and my daughter-in-law are really big about swaddling. When the babies are smaller, matter of fact, now we have all these things where we make a lot of, you know, white noise in the room when babies are trying to rest, and you swaddle them, and what it looks like actually is that you're squeezing the tar out of them. You're mummifying them. You know, so sure, that ought to help mom and dad. The kid can't speak, he can't move, can't do anything. You know, he's going to die probably. That's what it looks like to me. But amazingly enough, a cranky baby that is swaddled correctly slips into peaceful rest. Well, wouldn't that be a good thing for the Prince of Peace to do? Be at peace. So this swaddling thing is a big deal. And I'd never heard this until just this year. I'd never heard this issue of these lambs being swaddled to keep them from becoming blemished, to keep them protected from any of the things that might make them less than an appropriate sacrificial lamb. So the truth of the matter is, while being a shepherd might have been the lowest occupation on the secular scale, knowing about mangers and swaddling was a really big deal when Jesus came. And who knows more about mangers and swaddling than temple shepherds who swaddle lambs that are born around mangers? So these guys aren't so dumb after all. These really are kind of the class, you know. What do kings know about this stuff? They don't know about this stuff. And so God brought this message to these common men to be significant to all people. But it was still important that these shepherds hear what the angels were saying and catch the details. You know, how many of you heard the phrase, perception is reality? Okay, so let me just give you an illustration here about listening. An individual wrote and said that they were reading the story of Jesus' birth to their daycare children one morning, and as usual, they stopped to see if they understood what was being read to them. So here was the question. What do we call the three wise men? And a bright five-year-old answered, the three maggots. That's close to magi, but not exact. So I said, what gift did the magi bring baby Jesus? Kind of correcting the situation. And the same five-year-old replied, gold, Frankensteins, and Smurfs. Well, that makes a cute story in retrospect, but the bottom line is, that's not going to get you where you need to go. So we need to listen well. We need to hear the details that are out there and that are being given to us. And I ran across this years and years and years ago, and it just fit into what the Lord was laying on my heart this morning. Here's what happens, or what can happen at least, when we fail to listen to God. Number one, if we're not listening to God, we're listening to the wrong voice. If we're not listening to God, if we fail to listen to God, we are easily deceived. We open ourselves up to less than the truth. If we fail to listen to God, we're actually expressing independence from God and pride. Because if we don't need to listen to God, then we're feeling pretty good about ourselves. When we fail to listen to God, we make decisions that appeal to the flesh and not the spirit. We know where that will take us. When we don't listen to God, we make excuses for our wrongs. When we fail to listen to God, we suffer the consequences. How many of you have been on the end of that one? You know, somebody, and even with parental authority, parents having already been down the road trying to tell us something to save us from our own demise, you know, and yet we want to do our own thing. We want to learn our own way. We don't want to listen to them, and so we do our own thing. And how many times do we end up exactly where our parents told us we were going to end up if we didn't pay attention? And it's that way amplified 100-fold with God. God tells us in His Word, here's how you ought to live. Here's the direction you ought to take. Here's what you need to do with your life. Here's what eternity looks like. And we go, eh, I'll think about that later. So when we fail to listen to God, we suffer the consequences of our own independent spirits and our wrong perceptions. Think about this. When we fail to listen to God, we hurt others around us. You know, if you take a look at the Ten Commandments, God's telling you how to get along with Him and how to get along with each other. All those do nots are keeping you from inflicting pain on somebody else. God is not a cosmic killjoy trying to keep everyone from having a good time. But he knows when left to our own devices and when following our own emotions that we will oftentimes do things that are extremely selfish and therefore cost somebody else in the process. And here's the one that kind of sums it all up. When we fail to listen to God, we miss God's very best. How many of you believe God has a plan for your life? Okay, if God has a plan for your life, that means he's already thought out what needs to happen, right? And you're just supposed to follow directions. He doesn't need you to ad lib. He doesn't need you to rewrite the script. He needs you to listen. Listen. Because here's what happened. These crazy shepherd boys, you know, they were listening to God, and as a result, they received this message. And so as a result of receiving these directions, the angel said, go to Bethlehem. If you go to Bethlehem, you're going to find this baby, and this baby's going to be in a manger and be wrapped in swaddling cloths, and that baby will be the Messiah. That's all part of the message. A Savior is born. A real Savior. So these guys are, you know, once they got over being scared out of their wits, now they're starting to process a little bit, and fear is turning into excitement. And they're going, listen, and they're talking to each other, and it's like the angels do their thing and are gone, and all of a sudden all of that heavenly host singing in the multitudes, the night sky goes silent, oh holy night. And these shepherds are going, what are we sitting here for? We need to go. We got to go. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Jesus said when he left here, go. Go and do what? Go and find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger? No, what did he say to you? Go and make disciples. Isn't it interesting? Some of us aren't going yet. What would have happened if the shepherds on that whole holy night, what would have happened if the shepherds would have said, wow, that was pretty impressive, wasn't it? So let's just hang out here and think about it for a while. You know, there's a Savior that's been born. And you guys can be the first to meet him. Or you can make s'mores around the campfire. What are you going to do?
I don't know. You think we ought to go see the baby?
Man, they got excited and they said, hey, this is the best news we've heard in a long time, and we're the first to hear. Let's go. Let's go. So they went. You get into verses 15 and 16, you find these shepherds winting. They went. They made a choice. They put forth some effort. They were obedient to the message. They received a message, and here's one thing I want to get. I forgot to say this, but when you receive a message, you're given an opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to act on the opportunity, or are you going to miss the opportunity? I ran across a couple of interesting things. Arabian horses are trained rigorously in the middle of eastern deserts. The horses must learn to fully obey their master, and this obedience is tested by depriving the horses of water for many days and then turning them loose near water. As the horses get to the edge of the water and just before they drink of the much-needed water, the trainer blows his whistle. If the horses have learned to obey, they turn around and come back to the trainer, who then gives them as much water as they need. You're not playing tricks on them, but he's trying to see if they will not listen to their own emotions. Because they're already looking at water. But will they obey? Will they obey when it seems stupid? Will they obey when it doesn't seem like a good plan? Will they obey when I don't understand? The trainer knows what his horses need and will not allow them to die of thirst, but they must trust him. In And God knows what his children need and wants to supply it, but we must trust and obey him. Archibald Rutledge. I have no clue who Archibald Rutledge is. I just know what it says. Archibald Rutledge tells about a man who worked in one of the great forests of the South. His faithful dog burned to death in a great fire that had swept through the forest. Rutledge said the little dog had been left under a tree to guard his master's dinner pail and wouldn't leave it even when the flames roared around him. The worker was brokenhearted when he found the charred remains of his little friend. With tears streaming down his face, he said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it." This and more is the kind of obedience to which Christ has called us. I know it was a movie. I know it's not a true story. I was watching a John Wayne movie yesterday, and he had this dog, and he would just say, "Dog," and he would tell the dog something. The dog would do exactly what he said. If he was supposed to go with the Indian buddy, he would go with him. If he was supposed to go after his sons, he would go after them. If he was supposed to bite somebody on the arm, he would do that, you know. But just whatever John Wayne said to him, he would just say, "Dog," and he would give him a direction, and he would go. You know, this is the kind of obedience that Christ needs from us. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm reading about these Arabian horses, and I'm impressed about that, and I'm hearing about this dog, and I'm impressed about that, and I'm thinking, good night. If animals can get it that good, how come we keep messing up so much? We're supposed to be smarter than all them. If we could be as obedient as the animals God created, what a better life we'd have. We wouldn't have to deal with all that stuff, you know, that what happened if you don't listen to God. We wouldn't have to worry about that. We need to come to that place where we trust God, because he says to us that if we trust him, that we're going to be rewarded. Let me share with this passage of scripture in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. "I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me." That's a black and white statement. I think they call that a promise. And if you go into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 13, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." The angels knew those shepherds were going to find that baby if they'd just get up and go. If you just get up and go, you're going to find that baby. You find that baby, it's going to change your world. And then you can change the world around you. Some of you will remember this. In 1999, John F. Kennedy Jr. flew his small airplane from New York City to his family home in Massachusetts for a wedding. On board were his wife, Carolyn, and her sister. Though Kennedy was a licensed pilot, he had not yet been approved for instrument flight, which means using only the instruments to navigate. When their takeoff was delayed until after dark, Kennedy should have waited for daylight or sought a more experienced pilot to help. Yet Kennedy took off into the darkness, and the plane never reached its destination, and all three passengers were killed in the crash. Investigators determined that the crash was likely caused by disorientation from flying over open water at night without any landmarks or visible horizon. Kennedy's lack of experience may well have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was telling him. I hear pilots, I've heard different pilots say, that's the hardest thing to learn, is to disregard what you see and read the instruments. All of us face the temptation to walk according to sight instead of faith. Faith in God will keep us from crashing. Human reason will fail us at times, but God never fails. His word keeps us on the right course as long as we obey it. If we hear, if we obey, if we respond to God's message, there's reward at the end of obedience. And then here's the really important part. They heard, they went, and they received the message, they were given the opportunity. They were given the opportunity for something really special and really great. And they went, they responded to the message. So they did the right thing. And as a result of doing the right thing, they found the Christ child. They found him. and they worshiped him. You know what I think would be a really cool nativity? I saw it in a video, a children's video one time, but I've never seen a nativity scene like this. And I know it's important for Jesus to be in the manger in swaddling cloths. But you know what I think would be a really cool manger scene? Is one of the shepherds with baby Jesus in their arms. In an empty manger. Wouldn't that be cool? Don't you think they held the baby? Although, I have to say, I know guys who don't want to hold babies. It's like, no, I'll break that thing. And who wants to break the Savior of the world? So maybe they didn't hold the baby, I don't know. But I think that would be a cool nativity. But after they experienced being in the presence of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, they got excited again. And they got up and went again. And as they were going, it says right here in Luke chapter 2, it says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just they've been told. And if you back up, it says even in 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Pretty impressive story. It's cool that the shepherds were unashamed and unafraid. That's what we need to be. Matter of fact, if you read the Great Commission, my understanding, I don't know if you heard this, Travis, I don't know if you preach this, but my understanding is that in the original language, go make disciples, go means literally as you are going. I'm glad he's nodding his head because I didn't want to be telling you something wasn't true. But two preachers agreed here this morning. As you are going, that's continually. As you are going, every day, make some disciples. Every day, tell somebody about Jesus. Every day, share the message. Because not only was your life changed by experiencing Jesus, but if you share Jesus with other people, their lives can be changed. Some really tremendous and really wonderful things can happen. And let me just remind you what the Word of God says, because don't you think we're supposed to do the Bible? We're supposed to obey the Bible? If the Bible says it, we're supposed to go do it? Well, listen, in Philemon chapter or verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Man, I love that verse. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. The more you tell people about Jesus, the more you believe it yourself and the more you get out of it. You know what the implication of that verse is? That if you don't share your faith, you're never going to get everything that God really has for you. And then in 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, it says this: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Don't you want to have complete joy? Not just some joy, partial joy. Let's get complete joy. And we can do that by sharing our faith. Many of you know what this is. Not just any hat. Do you know what this is? Tell me. A swaddling hat? Okay, so my head's at peace now. This is an Evangie hat. Justin, can you give me that picture? How many of you know who that is? That's Miss Berta. How many of you see what she's got in her hands? This is one of those hats. Berta doesn't get to come to church anymore because Berta's in assisted living. But what's Berta doing? Oh, she's whining and crying and saying how bad it is to be in a place like that. Nothing can be done. What am I? No, Berta's out there making evangelist hats to give to Miss Carolyn to send all over the world. And I had my old blue. It's old enough, it's got those little balls that happen, you know, when you had a sweater too long. My blue stocking cap has those little balls on it. And I was seeing Miss Berta last week, and she said, I got these evangelist hats for Miss Carolyn. Well, I know what evangelist hats are because, you know, the lady's been doing them for a long time. And Berta said, you could use a new hat. Said, where would I get one? She said, how about if you take one of these? I said, I'd love to have one of those. That was on Wednesday. Thursday morning, I surrendered my old blue stocking cap to the closet, and I wore my new evangelist hat to the fitness center to work out. It wasn't that funny, Kelly. And two guys were standing. The guy that runs the front desk, his name is Abe or something like that. Nice-looking young man. And another nice-looking young man standing up talking to him. And you know, people at the fitness center, they're pretty friendly with each other and stuff. And so I walk in, and they're used to seeing me, and I'm used to seeing them. We'd never really had a conversation. I didn't really learn their names. Anyway, this one guy says to me, he says, that's a new hat, isn't it? I said, yeah, it is. He said, it's like fresh knitted yourself, huh? And he thought that was going to be funny. And I said, actually, no, but an 80-some-year-old woman who used to go to my church and can't anymore, that I went and visited last week, knitted it for me. He said, oh, that's pretty cool. I said, do you know what this hat is about? He said, no. Well, let me tell you. This black ring represents your heart in sin. This red ring represents the blood of Jesus Christ because God sent his son to die for you. This white ring represents your heart after you ask Jesus into your heart and forgive your sins. This green represents the everlasting life that God wants to give you. And gold is heaven on the streets of gold where you go because you accepted Jesus Christ. And he said, oh. I said, do you have a church? He said, yes. And the guy, Abe, who's the guy at the desk who's ringing me in every day, says, I'm a Jew. And if I'd have really been quick, I'd have said, so is Jesus. But I was trying to be good. And then yesterday, I'm walking in Walmart with my evangelist hat on. And I heard this voice say, ho, 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 Gary. And I turned around, it was Santa Claus. And Santa Claus walks up to me and says, nice hat. I said, nice hat too. But this one's better. I said, you know what kind of hat this is? He said, no. I said, it's an evangelist hat. He said, what's that mean? Glad you asked. This black ring represents the sin in your heart when you don't know Jesus Christ. This red ring represents the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on the cross. This white ring represents what your heart looks like after you accept Jesus Christ and forgive us of sins. This green represents everlasting life, which is what God gives you after you accept him. And gold is the streets of gold in heaven where you're going to live forever with Jesus. He says, I like that. And I knew he would because I knew who he was. It's really not hard to go and tell. Get you an evangelist hat. all kinds. They have evangelist soccer balls. They have all kinds of evangelist stuff. But it's just so simple. And so we make such a hard thing. Oh, I can't tell people about Jesus. I can't witness. I'm scared to death. Nobody wants to hear from me. Hogwash. Get an evangelist hat. Find something. Because if you went looking for Jesus and found him, you got a story to tell. And other people need to find him. And you can help them. And that's what the shepherd's candle is all about. So let me ask you this morning, have you received the message? Have you received the message that the Savior has come? Have you embraced the Savior as your personal Savior? Have you confessed your sin? Have you received Jesus Christ into your heart and life and said, I want to live for him? Have you responded to the message and been obedient and indeed had Christ come into your heart? And now are you relaying the message to other people? There's all kinds of ways, all kinds of tools. Nike thought they were cool when they did that thing, just do it. But God did that a long time ago. Just do it. The shepherds heard. We have heard. The shepherds responded. Have you responded? And if you've responded, will you relay it to others? It's just that simple. Don't let the devil talk you out of one of the greatest things in the world, which is to share Christ with other people so that they can have him. Stand with me. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's never accepted Jesus Christ, and so I want to talk to you first. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart, without repeating my whole sermon that I just preached to you, you can do that real easy this morning. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I'm not ready for heaven. And all you have to do is ask Jesus in your heart to forgive your sins, and you'll be ready for heaven within about 2 seconds. God works fast. He's already got all the work completed. He just wants you to accept it by faith. Let's just stop and pray for a minute. Everybody bow your head. And if you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want you to, if you want to, you can pray this prayer with me this morning. Father, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Give me a home in heaven. I thank you for loving me and sending your Son. Lead me to learn about you and live for you from now on. Amen. Not hard. And so if you did that this morning, I would like to ask you for one more favor. I would like for you to tell me that before you leave the building today. Would you just identify yourself and say, I just received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior? Because we want to know about that. We want to celebrate it. Okay? The second thing this morning is this. Are you professing to know Jesus but not telling anybody? And without being mean or rude or critical, that's not going to cut it. Not going to get the job done. We need to relay the message to others. So get you an evangelist hat or something. However it works for you. But let's be a church that's responding in obedience to the Great Commission. Let's go and make disciples. I can't think of a better way to celebrate Christmas than to give somebody the gift of eternal life. So it's up to you. Your call. However you do it, I'm not going to tell you how to do it. I'm not going to tell you what that looks like. But just pray. Matter of fact, I want to pray for you right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day again, and we thank you for the privilege of being in your house and fellowshipping, worshiping together, and enjoying the music and the message and the word. And so, Father, we're human beings, and sometimes we let the devil create doubt and fear in our mind, and we're sorry for that. We ask you to help us and give us strength. And Lord, help us to be willing to share our faith with others so that, like the Bible said, that our joy can be complete. We want complete joy, Lord. We want to have full understanding of everything you have for us. We love you. We thank you. And we pray. pray that you give us the strength that we need and help us to hunger and thirst after your word and after you. As you said, if we seek you, you'll be found. Lord, we want to find you. We want others to find you. We ask this in the wonderful, power, and precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. All right, good. Before you take off, I just want to ask, I hate for Travis to be totally on vacation. So, yeah.
We tend to do this every year, so this week. We want to give a card to Pastor Dave and Miss Becky. So either one of them, whichever one's closer.
I'll bring them both. Bring them both.
Bring them both. And I know Jennifer is out with the kids this morning, but we've got a card for
I'm following the sound guys. Leave.
Okay. We've got a card for you and Jennifer as well. Just a little something from the church, and we just want to say Merry Christmas, and we love you, and we appreciate everything that you all do.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Thank you from the staff. We appreciate that so very, very much. And Travis, I am honored to have you here this morning. I would be even more honored if you would come and pray a closing prayer for us, and just as we pray for your church, would you pray a blessing over the church that God has given me to pastor.
Let me just say it's been a joy for my family to be with you today. I love your pastor. He has become a dear friend in the 8 months that I've been in Nixa. So thank you for allowing us to worship with you. Thank you for greeting us and making us feel right at home. We have enjoyed it. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a joy it has been to be in this place today with your people. I thank you, Father, for Nixa Church of the Nazarene. I thank you for Pastor Gary. And Father, I just pray that you would continue to use them in this community and beyond, Lord, that you would meet every need that they have. I pray, Father, that you would just bless them. And, Father, I pray that you would just raise them up as a light. Father, we thank you for this time of year where we celebrate Christ coming to be our Savior. And I thank you for the word that we've heard today. And I pray that we would be like the shepherds, that we would hear, and after hearing, we would go, and then that we would tell. And so, Father, thank you that as we leave this place, you will give us opportunity. And I pray that we would seize those opportunities, Father. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.